everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast. We are back for part two, if you like, of this fortnight's podcast efforts. As we look ahead, goodness me, to the final 19th round of the Formula One season. Thank goodness I'm not travelling all across the world covering this stuff, because I'd never be home. My name is Michael Bailey. We are here in Norwich at the NRF1 podcast to preview Abu Dhabi, look ahead to the predictions these guys in front of me are going to make and what predictions we've had recently, plus other fun and games. Once again with me, Carl Cumbers, Richard Baxter, Josh Raymond and Steve Rust. Rich, I'm going to come to you first, because you've revealed something to me on Twitter, on YouTube, that I was not aware of, and we're going to have to put this on the Facebook page and everything.
Yeah, just shout out to YouTube user Blackout19, who's posted a video of a Cam who's in a car, I guess, driving, and is listening to the podcast. Don't know who he is.
Where is he?
He's in a car.
Yeah. So that's why he listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
We know if they've got four wheels or not.
Yeah,
somewhere in the world?
Somewhere in the world. It doesn't say, I don't think.
Is he driving on the right or left-hand side of the road?
The left, but there's arrows on the road with both lanes going left, so it could be
a one-way stretch.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But wow, the mystery continues.
It looks like it's the UK.
Look, English roads, don't they?
I'm just going to mute it, so...
No, play it. Let's listen to the podcast again. What did you say? It looks like what?
It looks like the UK.
Okay.
Because McLaren Q1 exit.
I think Hungary.
The McLaren.
Well, there we go. Yeah, that's beautiful. We'll link to that, because, you know, what else are we going to do with all our social media feeds? But that's amazing. Awesome. So
get some predictions from that man for the next round.
Get some predictions in, like, you know, the world of the internet, which seems to have taken on our prediction league with great gusto and plenty of infighting from some of the people you know all about, Kyle. So we'll get stuck into that, most definitely. But what we can do before we get stuck into Abu Dhabi, shall we talk about some of the news or discussion? Now, we're recording this on Monday night. We're very prompt this week, which is great, but it does mean some of the news might come along after we've recorded. But as things stand at the moment, Red Bull, they are eyeing an unbadged Renault engine or a Honda or something else, but they will be racing next year. Are we excited?
Pleased that they'll be racing next year, not excited. But yeah, it seems like the unbadged Renault engine, with a few tweaks from Adrian Newey's mates regarding the sort of the hybrid system and that seems to be the way they're going, which is fair enough. As long as they're on the grid, that's good. You don't want to lose drivers like Ricciardo and Kvyat. And hopefully next year they can get sorted their 2017 engines before sort of November and December time. So yeah. Pleased.
Yeah, I'm quite intrigued, because I mean, if Renault pull off a blinder and actually make an engine that works, will Red Bull have to then say, okay, actually, yeah, we'll stay with you? And then Renault will turn around and say, actually, you can't, because it was one season deal or something. You know, it's going to be interesting, but it's good, because it's another team on the grid, it's more drivers, and just hope they can do a good job anyway.
Assuming it is Renault, they seem to be not quite decided whether or how they're going to be in Formula One next year. They don't know if they're going to be a works team with Lotus, but there seems to be some suggestion they haven't confirmed it yet in terms of they might not even be on the grid in any capacity next season.
I thought it was all decided. I thought it was all a done deal, and it was just prior to a full announcement, which I presume would probably just be at the end of the season, because that's how they normally like to do these sort of things. But as far as I thought, it was a done deal. But
I think that's probably what it will be. I think the suggestion was that the Renault bosses were, or the Renault main man, Mr. Goshen,
yes,
was. That is probably not how you pronounce it.
So, looks.
That's how it's written. Oh, yes. It's the Norfolk Formula One podcast. It's definitely written with an S. And it's got a GH. It's Goshen. That's a place in the US. I know that much. But it's not spelled the same. Anyway, the suggestion that he has the final say on whether Renault do turn up or not. But at the same time, you've got Renault employees working at Enstone. And presumably...
The clue's there, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And it has supposedly been signed for a while. So maybe it's just a question of getting it sorted. I suppose the plan B for Red Bull is at least a Honda engine, if they somehow persuade Ron Dennis to allow that, or whether, I heard this suggestion, you have Renault do the power units and then someone else does the electronics, or even Red Bull do it in-house. I suppose they're a little bit, it's a major flaw with the team, isn't it? They are reliant on an engine supplier.
That was the big rumour, wasn't it? That they'd take the Renault power unit and then build the rest of it themselves. They had a man attached to Adrian Newey.
Ilman?
But I don't know how true that was.
Would they have enough time, though, between now? I mean, testing was only around the corner for next season.
I suppose if it's a Renault-based unit, it's less work than if they had to kind of fit a Ferrari or a Mercedes unit into it. There's less repackaging.
I think Red Bull went to Renault with suggestions on how to improve the engine, and Renault said, oh no, that's no good. We've got it sorted. And then they rock up in Brazil lagging.
Oh god, it's like it sums up the whole season. Well, let's be honest, they are months behind certainly Ferrari and Mercedes, and in truth pretty and there's another beep. I'm enjoying the beeps. It's like end of season beeps. We're just going for it. I liked it was amazing that the new engine was slower for Daniel Ricciardo in Brazil.
I was entertained by that.
I mean, that is almost a highlight of that race weekend.
I've got a conspiracy theory about this one, though.
It's been a while since we had one, Rich.
Maybe it was a bluff. Maybe they were double bluffing everyone, saying, oh, our engine's slower than it, you know, than the normal one, the only one's slower, just to trick, you know, put everyone off guard, and then suddenly next season they come in and bam.
What, the Honda strategy? I mean, the 2008 Honda strategy.
Well, yeah, maybe, you never know.
I admire the optimism of that, Rich.
Julian Palmer's going to win the first race of the season this year.
Oh, could you imagine it? We'd have like a party. It'd be like NRF1 gold. That would.
If that happens, anyone who puts a bit on it, you know,
I wouldn't see them again.
You know, to thank for that.
They'd be straight off to Brazil for the Brazilian Grand Prix. Just be waiting there for a few months ahead of it. I like the idea. I mean, there was a really good interview I think James Allen did with Christian Horner on 5 Live before the race weekend, and James Allen basically summed up the issues in one question, and Christian Horner was like, yeah, fair enough, yeah, pretty much done it there. Clearly so many issues with the competition element of Ferrari and Mercedes not wanting to give Red Bull a chance by giving them a power unit. Therefore, Bernie steps down, Christian Horner becomes F1 chief, sorts out all the rules, away we go. Brilliant. Problems all solved. Yeah, surely? Should we just do that?
Jerry Halliwell, the first lady of F1. So.
Oh yeah. Well, you just put me straight off that. I thought that was a great idea. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Talking of Christian Horner, I was watching some old F3000 videos on YouTube a few days ago, and there was a very young Christian Horner not qualifying for a lot of races in the 1997 International F3000 series.
Sounds like you enjoyed watching it.
It was quite good fun. I recommend it.
Awesome stuff. Oh, fantastic. The only other thing I wanted to really touch on, because there doesn't seem to be too much on, and you know, a lot of stuff is sorted really, isn't it, for next year, but Manor, we did put big question marks next to them in the last podcast, maybe harshly, we don't know, but we do know Graham Loudon and John Booth are going. Some suggested it was just a ruse to get more money out of the team, but they're pretty adamant they are going. So which I suppose they would have to be, even if it was still a ruse. It's a difficult one to judge that, but suggestions, Alex Wurz might well come in to do something or other. Run the team, I guess.
Wasn't he linked with another team a few years back? Was it
Caterham, was it? Or have I just made that up?
It might have been Caterham, and they
went
in trouble. I can't remember. He was...
Oh, God. So actually, rather than me, you know, trying to establish that Manor might be in next year, we're now linking them to something else to do with Caterham.
So, I mean, that was Alex Wurz anyway, but I'm not sure.
Well, Haas come in next year, don't they? So are we going to have 10 or 11 teams on the grid next year, do you reckon, Carl?
We'll have 11. Definitely 11 teams next year.
There's a man who knows.
Could be nine. Well,
any number, really. Maybe not more than 11. I think that would be too difficult
now.
Unlikely. Unless we set up our own team.
Grand Prix turn up again.
Stefan Grand Prix.
You still have like an entry.
Well, yeah, who else does? I mean, do Hispania? Could they, you know, HRT? Could they come back?
Entry.
I think surely not.
You can't let you buy an entry and just not turn up for years, which I think that Stefan did, didn't it? And also, isn't there a Romanian
What about USF1?
That's
USF1.
Yeah,
they're still, they've just, yeah, it's just sitting there dormant. Or is that? Well, I suppose that
I can be an F1 team, and you know, no one's wanted to buy it yet.
That will be pass, I suppose, won't it? They will be the USF1 team.
Yeah, and hopefully, well, they are definitely in a better position than USF1. So hopefully, Haas do a good job, and we can sort of, you know, bad press about American teams coming in.
It's big talk, aren't they? Like midfield, we're going to compete, we're going to do that and the other.
Grosjean sort of said, well, you know, they're going to be scoring points like straight off. You know, and I thought, well, okay, you know, for a new team, that's I like your optimism.
It does send shivers down my Hingham spine. But Kyle?
It'll be interesting to see that they're doing it completely different.
How are they doing it?
Well,
that you know of.
Spending a lot of time with Ferrari and fixed cost racing is probably the way to describe it.
So it's the first customer team then, really, in a way?
In a way, yeah. They know the budget or the costs for the next 3 years, and they're happy they've got the money to do it. Got some very good links with Ferrari. Ferrari are very enthusiastic about Haas. So all the signs look quite good.
But it sort of all adds up, doesn't it? They're two drivers who Ferrari would probably be quite interested in having in their seat, so therefore they have plenty of incentives to make sure Haas does a good job and, you know, starts finishing ahead of, I don't know, Toro Rosso, Sauber certainly. And I'm almost excited for a minute there. Certainly not the way Caterham were doing it.
It's going to be really interesting next year because obviously Manor now have the Mercedes engine, so there's not really anyone who you can see yet, if, you know, as long as Manor pick up a bit, that is going to be the back running team. My only fear is that
Well, it's funny though because it almost turned, we had obviously one tyre or the other a few years ago. It's literally going to be Mercedes or Ferrari engines, isn't it, one or the other?
Yeah, and my only fear though is 2017, they're talking about a big overhaul of the rules and everything, but what if we have an absolutely cracking season next year where it's really close and everything? Are they still going to want to change the rules? Or
yeah, because they've done it before. It's Formula 1 just repeats itself, don't they?
You have another dominant team who's found a loophole and back to square one.
And you love it, Rich, don't deny it. Okay, Abu Dhabi then is coming up this weekend. It's the final race of the year. We will have a podcast reviewing that, and then we'll probably have an end of year wrap down the pub like we do, just so we can go down the pub. But we normally ask the question, most important weekend for, but there's some interesting things along that I had looking through all the standings and went through them. So interesting, the battle of the Finns, Kimi Raikkonen, Valtteri Bottas, are only a point
Bottas
different?
Is a point ahead at the moment.
And they hate each other, don't they? Do they, sort of, as much as Finns hate each other?
I don't know. Which race was it that they had a little bit of a last lap?
Which one indeed, Steve? Which lap. Narrow them down.
There's Russia. Yeah. And then, of course, we had Mexico, which was kind of round two. So, and there's of course, a race in between where they took a break. So maybe Brazil, they didn't really have any contact. So that's the break. And then Abu Dhabi, knockout.
Are they racing for fourth in the drivers,
yeah,
is it?
Fourth. Yeah. Apparently Bottas got a bit of bad press.
Yeah.
Where?
In Finland, sort of blaming him, really, for the collisions with Raikkonen. Yeah,
a bit of a backlash against him in his own country. Yeah, there sort of seem to be people siding with like Raikkonen on it. And
but is it quite a Finnish backlash where they're like, ugh, and that's it? So yeah,
I hope there's t-shirts and campaigns and stuff. You know, Team Kimi.
Have you ever seen an angry Finn?
I'm sure there are angry Finns. I'm sure there are. We better be careful we don't stereotype all Finns as exactly the same. I'm sure there's a Finnish person somewhere who is angry about this.
The angriest, I mean, either Mika Hakkinen, the angriest he ever got was when someone said to him, "You make it look easy," and he just goes, "Oh yes, very easy. No." And that was a press conference. That was
well, okay, in a sample size of Mika Hakkinen, Kimi Raikkonen and Valtteri Bottas, it's hard to imagine an angry Finnish racing driver.
Heikki
Kovalainen was a lovely guy. Heikki, actually, this is true, because I remember going, I think it was the last British Grand Prix I went to, Heikki was still in and around the Caterham team, but he wasn't driving. I think he was expecting to be driving, but he obviously cost too much money, so he was sat in the Caterham motorhome. He was an angry Finn, I can tell you. He was not happy. So yes, Finns do get angry, and Heikki is the proof.
I was going to say, I imagine those two Finns that I saw at the Grand Prix that were bowing to Kimi every lap would probably have some strong opinions.
Yes, we have to get them on. If they're out there, get in touch. There is a way of doing that, which we might bring in next year. People can ring up and leave messages for us and say all sorts. So, I mean, it could open a can of worms, but, you know, we do that. That's our job. So it's fine. We can enjoy that. Anyway, I'll have rattled through these a bit quicker, I suppose. Felipe Massa is 19 points behind Valtteri Bottas in the battle for... Have I got that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so Bottas is fourth, of course. Raikkonen is fifth. Massa is 19 points behind Bottas in sixth. So theoretically, Felipe, you know, if he wins the race, could close some places. But I mean, I'm not convinced, but there we go. It's interesting. It's a teammate battle that's almost there. The battle for seventh, a bit more interesting. Daniel Kvyat is still 10 points ahead of Daniel Ricciardo for seventh. I mean, that's a surprise for me that battle is how it is at the moment.
Yeah, because some people sort of said Kvyat hasn't had a great year, but I thought he's had a decent year, really.
The end of the year has been really good. The last few races, he's outraced Ricciardo. I'll finish ahead of him in the races. You know, I'm not sure about qualifying. I can't remember off the top of my head. But he has picked up recently, and he doesn't have the new Renault engine.
Yeah, probably the upgrade.
Does that mean by racing conquers that he's better than Vettel?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's how it works, right?
Yeah, we're taking that all day long. Ninth, Perez. Sergio Perez is 16 points better off. Yeah. Yes, I have. I've written it down. I don't believe it. than Nico Hülkenberg. So that could be interesting. That's not really going to change, is it?
You wouldn't have thought it would change unless Perez retires and Hülkenberg gets some big points in Abu Dhabi. But I think that's quite an impressive season for him because, I mean, a lot of people, including us, rave about Hülkenberg and think he should be in a better team than maybe Perez. Okay, yeah, I suppose he had a chance with McLaren, but he's still a good driver himself. He's kind of outshone him this year.
Yes. Yeah, it's outshone Le Mans winner Nico Hülkenberg. There was a really nice interview with Sergio Perez ahead of the Grand Prix weekend in Sao Paulo on 5 Live. Not wishing to plug the BBC too much, but it's well worth checking out. It's very good to hear Sergio Perez's sort of more considered thoughts. Interesting then, 11th and 13th, Romain Grosjean and Max Verstappen, as well Felipe Nasr, or what was it, Phil Nasr? Is that what we're calling him now? Fred? No, he doesn't like Fred.
Doesn't
what
like
was
Fred.
We had a week, yeah. Just Nasr. Phil Nasr and Pastor Maldonado in 13th, or 13th, Phil Nasr is. Does that make sense? Let me try that bit again. Romain Grosjean is 11th. He is level on points with Max Verstappen. Phil Nasr is 13th, level on points with Pastor Maldonado. Those are two duels, yes?
This is 1 point difference on mine, not level, but...
Is it?
That's what...
It says level on mine.
On the BBC, the BBC says level. What one are you on?
This was BBC I took a photo of yesterday, unless it's been updated since.
Because of Massa's...
Education.
That's what it is. Ignore me.
1 point would have been close. Level, amazing. Can we get over this excitement? What's going to happen? Anyone?
Maldonado will crash into someone.
Will he crash into Phil Nasr?
Oh, he might do.
Desperate for 13th place.
Yeah, 13th place as well. 13th place.
It's a race number.
It's a race number. It is all well. Betting tips. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I don't know what odds you get on that. Very short. 16th. Jenson Button is just 2 points behind Carlos Sainz. Amazing. 2 points. Surely even a McLaren can. Anyone? No. Well, Josh is wiggling his hand.
Who'd have thought that a few years ago?
I think bigger than that is both McLarens are above Ericsson. I mean,
for now.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, Ericsson's got 9 points, has he? He's the highest place scoring driver. So you've all got these standings ahead of you. So I was going to ask this question, but I guess you all know the answer. Maybe don't move your panels, but see. Yeah, four drivers this season haven't scored points but are classified. Can you name them all?
There's Magnussen.
Mary.
Stevens.
Stevens and Rossi. Magnussen was the one I was hoping you wouldn't get, actually, but you got the... Rich was straight in there, of course. Kevin Magnussen raced the first race in place of Alonso, wasn't it?
Yeah. I remember that random...
Start, did he?
Did he not start?
No, he broke.
Oh, because I can't ever. Well, stupid me. How have I done that? Unbelievable scenes. The Constructors' Championship. Oh, two big things resting on this. Lotus are sixth, just 9 points ahead of Toro Rosso. I suppose that is almost. Is there anything that there's not even anything riding on that, is there? Because Force India are fifth, and they've got the last guaranteed seat on the Council of Ultimate Power, whatever Formula One calls it. And Sauber eighth. 9 points, just those 9 points ahead of McLaren.
Sauber did their thing, which is what I've used to observe with them, which was they would do very well at the start of the season and then just fade away as the year went on. And then for a while, they just kind of didn't even do the good bit at the start of the season. But they've now gone back to that. Yeah. They had a really good start to this season.
It's because they've gone back to the kind of blue and yellow colour scheme, isn't it?
It must be. It was.
And they just can't afford to update the car. That's basically it. It's like, we've made a car. We can't do anything with it. We've got to plan the next one. So there we go. Are we all excited about all those prospects of stuff happening in Abu Dhabi?
Definitely the Maldonado battle for 13th.
It's going to be classic. It's caught the imagination that has, hasn't it?
I reckon there'll be some fireworks at the end of the race. It usually is because it's night time, isn't it?
No, but hang on. It won't be the end of the race, will it? It'll be the first, the car wins the race, fireworks goes off, we forget what's happening on the rest of the track while everyone finishes.
Maldonado down the
He's going to take them out while the fireworks are going on. No one will ever see it.
It's going to happen. All the smoke from the fireworks is going to then blow across the track, and then it's just going to be like 17 cars still racing, overtaking each other, and we're going to miss it.
Just 17 cars on the wall. They didn't see it coming.
And then Maldonado comes through and
wins.
Takes
second.
Can't even win.
They can't win because the fireworks go off and the winner goes.
It's a fair point. Unless Bernie sets them off early. Be like sprinklers.
That should be one of your tips for the weekend.
Good luck with the odds.
I'll try and find them.
Okay, predictions then. Prediction League is coming to the end. I haven't worked out the standings. Now, this is kind of deliberate because I'm trying to leave some mystery in it. There might not be much mystery. But come the end of the season, the end of the race in Abu Dhabi, we'll have the final standings. But what I can do is let you know how everything came about in Brazil.
I'll just leave for this bit, if that's all right.
No, you're not allowed to, Rich, but take great solace in the predictions I'm about to recall that I made, which were that Hamilton would win the race, Perez would finish ahead of Hülkenberg, Massa would finish ahead of Bottas, McLaren would have two DNFs, I mentioned it in the other podcast, Carlos Sainz to finish in the top 10, because I hadn't ever done a prediction on him, probably, and Ericsson to exit in Q1. That is a round fat zero, zilch, nada, nothing. It's been a McLaren of a prediction season for me. Rich, yeah, you're not going anywhere. I did it. You can do it too. Massa top 7, Nasa top 10. Nice Brazil theme. Didn't happen. Wet or Inters to be used in any session? Nope, nothing at all. I did allow you to check that one, but it's true. No safety car or virtual safety car. Even though there should have been, shouldn't there, at one point? Yes, actually, this is a discussion we didn't have, did we? Because when Carlos Sainz did just sort of peter out, his back end of his car was sticking out. And there was a suggestion the virtual safety car had to come out then. We all agree, yeah?
Yeah.
There's people close to the track. And if you remember, I think it was 2007 or 8, I can't remember the top of my head. But Trulli and Sutil came together in the old Toyota and Force India at the time. And they crashed right on that corner, straight across.
So silly and lucky, really. Better next time, please. Hülkenberg to be on the podium. You got a kudos point, Rich.
That's something. I was kind of banking on the rain and it just let me down.
It was all a letdown, Rich, don't worry. But you did get a kudos point, so one up on me. Kyle, prediction league leader at the moment. You said Massa would be ahead of Bottas in qualifying in the race. No. You said Nasa would be ahead of Ericsson qualifying in race. Correct. Rosberg P1. Correct. Alonso exit in Q1. Correct. It's my Magnus impression. Button to exit in Q2. Not correct. But as good as anyone else did in this round. Sam Todd was in touch. Good to hear from you, Sam. As always, he said a Hamilton DNF. No. But Rosberg P1, Vettel on the podium, both correct. Ricciardo on the podium, no. Hamilton pole, no. Button points, no. Verstappen, the fastest in FP3. Woof. But there's certainly nowhere near it. 17 cars to finish. Kudos point for that. Very close, but it was 18. Very good effort there. Tim Ayrt was in touch. He was very magnanimous about the fact he missed the FP1 deadline last time round, which we very much appreciated. Tim Ayrt, which is how I have to pronounce it. He went for, and I've got to be honest, not all of these counted, I'm afraid, but Vettel to win, no. Hamilton second, correct. Raikkonen third, no. Rosberg fourth, no. Hulkenberg fifth, no. Force India to have two in Q3 and two cars in the points. Neither of those came off. Sergio let you down twice, I'm afraid. Toro Rosso to have two cars ahead of Red Bull. Big shout. And not correct either, sadly. Now, Brundle to interview Verstappen, Button, Hulkenberg and Rob Smedley over the course of the weekend. A, did anyone notice that?
Interviewed Button, I think.
He always interviews Button.
That exactly.
Irritates the hell out of me, that does.
Which is why I'm not including it. But, you know, a fair shout. Timmer, probably. You're probably half right on some of those. He also said that Martin Brundle would upset Nico Rosberg at some point, which I think he did on the podium.
Yes.
Didn't he? Because he was like, yeah, why didn't you do this earlier in the season? And Nico was like, yeah, I thought about that. Yeah, so, Nico was pretty annoyed about that. So you get a kudos point for that one, Timmy. Well done. Vettel to swear live on TV. Well, I mean, that's a given. You're not going to get a point for that ever. Alonso, the best result of his season, but still to complain. Amusing, definitely. And Bruno Senna, I presume, to do the podium questions, whereas we know it was Martin Brundle. He said he was happy to be winning on kudos. I don't know if you are, Tim. It's a good. I like. It's almost mind games. You're almost trying to trick me into that. But you did get a kudos point and a couple of extra points out of all that lot. Of course, Tim and Johnny are in a big war of predictions. Johnny went big and acknowledged it himself. He said he went for the whole order from one to whatever. Rosberg to win. Yes. Hamilton second. Yes. 100% record. And that was it, really. Then he said Bottas, Vettel, Hulkenberg, Kvyat, Massa, Raikkonen, Grosjean, Maldonado, Alonso, Sainz, Button, Nasr, Rossi, Stevens, with DNFs for Ricciardo, Perez, Ericsson and Verstappen. Ultimately, that's 2 out of 20. He got the two McLaren Mercedes right at the top end of the grid. But, you know, it's 2 out of 20, Johnny, 2 out of 20. So, as a quick calculation, it does appear that I gave Johnny a kudos point for the effort as well. So Timmy and Johnny had a kudos point each, and Johnny just did had a naught point. Hang on, no, sorry, kudos points each. But Timmy came home with 0.125, whereas Johnny 0.02. So Timmy won that round. It means a lot to them. So I've worked out for you. There you go. As for the standings, though, you'll have to wait until after the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix because I haven't worked them out yet, and I've got to also add in our predictions at the beginning of the season that we made, and also the second half of the season. So there's a few there that have got to be factored in as well. Very exciting. I'm so excited. But probably no one else is. So it leaves predictions to be made for Abu Dhabi. Who wants to go first? I'll open it up. Who wants to go first?
I am prepared.
Go, Kyle.
So I'm going to go for a Hamilton pole and win. He's normally pretty quick around Abu Dhabi. I think the Williams will go well there. Two long straights. So I'm going for Bottas podium. Also being two long straights, I think the Force Indians will do well, so both of them will be in the top eight. Both McLarens out in Q1, unfortunately for them. And finally, I don't think this has actually happened yet, but there's been a lot of talk about it since it joined the calendar. Somebody will crash in the pit lane exit, the sort of tunnel bit.
Oh yeah, it's always been a bit tight, that, isn't it?
Every year they talk about it, don't they? But it's never actually happened yet.
So in the race?
In the race, somebody will crash.
Maldonado.
Oh my God, don't even say we've done that.
Will he crash into Nasr?
Amazing.
Good Lord. Wow.
That is it, yep.
That is it. It's good work, Kyle. Good way to decide, because the last predictions of the season, so you've got to make them good ones, and you have done. 10 points.
Promoting driver safety as well.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Did you just give him points for making predictions?
No, I think I just said it. No. Did I just say kudos points? Or kudos?
Said 10 points.
Oh, I did say 10, yeah. No, you're not really getting 10 points. He's already winning. Well, Rich, I'm pointing at you, but...
Okay, I don't mind.
Go on, Josh.
Okay, I'm going to go
I'm going to predict the podium, and it's going to be the same as Brazil, I reckon. So Rosberg, Hamilton, Vettel. I reckon that we're going to get a dismal end to the McLaren season. So I'm going to predict bad things for them, as I often do. I reckon both out in Q3. One of them will retire in qualifying because they can't make it to the they can't make a lap. I think I'm going to go for another one of those. I think Rossi might set a faster lap time in GP2 than one of the Marussias, one of the Manors. Because they've got a GP2 race there that weekend as well, haven't they?
Is Rossi racing in that? And so,
Mary's come back for the last round.
I'm glad you know that.
I reckon Rossi will set a faster lap time than Mary.
So you think Rossi will set a faster lap in GP2 in a GP2 car than Roberto Merhi will in the Manor F1 car?
Yeah, that's my outlandish prediction.
Interesting.
So his fastest lap will be quicker than Merhi's fastest lap?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, kudos point for that one, my man. Brilliant. All done?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's good quality of predictions. I like it.
Go on, I'll go next. Because I think Rich will have loads.
he's well prepared. I'm also going before Rich. I've decided I'm not going last this week.
I think it'll be exactly the same on the podium. No change in the positions. I've just got an inkling that that's going to be exactly the same as the last race. I think Bottas will finish ahead of Raikkonen and therefore claim fourth in the championship. And I think I'll go with top 10 finish for Grosjean again. And one McLaren retirement, because that's probably quite inevitable. Inevitable, rather.
Done?
Yep.
Happy man. Right, I'm going first, Rich, before you. Anyway, but this might take a while because you've prepared yours, haven't you?
I
never bother with that stuff. So I'm going to nick other people's predictions. Timmy, I liked yours of Force India having two cars in Q3 and two cars in the points. So I'm going to say that. I agree with Steve that Bottas is going to finish fourth in the championship by finishing ahead of Raikkonen in the race. I think that Pastor Maldonado is going to finish in the top 10 and take points. I can't believe you all doubt him or not. But Romain Grosjean will still finish ahead of Pastor, and Nico Rosberg is going to win. He's going to take pole, and everyone's going to be hoodwinked into thinking there's going to be a proper championship battle between the two Mercedes next year, all through the winter. I'm done. Richard,
I've gone for some quite sensible ones actually.
I thought mine was quite sensible too. Yeah, good.
I'm going to say Williams podium, first of all, one of the Williams on the podium. Sort of similar to what you said, but I'm going to say both Force Indias in the top 10 of the race. Verstappen, I'm going to say top 10 again in the race. Positive for McLaren, I'm going to say both McLarens to finish the race. Oof. As positive as they can get at the minute. And at least one Red Bull to retire.
Whoa.
And
which one?
That's the lot.
That's all the predictions for the Formula One podcast for 2015. Take a pat yourselves on the back, everyone, because that's probably about 7 hours of audio that you've contributed to that some people will have enjoyed. Maybe, possibly. It's over to you guys out there. As you know, we've got Timmy, Sam, Todd, Johnny Parfitt all getting involved with their predictions. You're more than welcome to join us and book your place on the final table. To be honest, if you came on, predicted four things that came true and they weren't too ridiculously obvious, you'd probably win. It's probably that straightforward. I've tried to put in an algorithm, but there's only so much I can do. Just saying. You can do that. All you need to do is get your predictions in via Twitter is probably best, although you can do it on our Facebook page as well. Facebook page is facebook.com/NRF1podcast. Twitter handle is @TheNRF1. All you need to do is get them into the public domain before the start of FP1. That's all we ask for. Other than that, they are fair game. Although I do allow a veto if they're ridiculous. Just so you know, it's got to be done. But that's it. Do you reckon we'll have some betting tips before the race, Kyle?
Yep. It'll be quite interesting actually to see who is actually favourite for the race with Rosberg's recent form. It'll be intriguing to see.
I like your style. Well, that will be on nrf1.uk. Anyone fancy doing a blog over the next fortnight? I'm going to do one. I do say that every time. I might do one, actually. I should do, really.
Before the race? Yeah. Before the end of the season?
Yeah, that's my prediction. My prediction is I will write a blog before FP1. There you go. I'll give myself 10 bonus points for that one.
That's cheating a bit.
That's my rules. Just think of it. It's a bit like Formula 1, really, Mercedes. So the strategy engineer has all engineered it. So, yeah, that's all on... but you can read the existing blogs that are already there, nrf1.uk, of course. And please get in touch as well by the usual means, or you can email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. If you've got any ideas, suggestions, feedback, you want to get involved, we'd love to have new people on if and when you want to do it. Also, as I said, we'll try and get this thing where people can converse with us and get in touch. Should be some fun. Can of worms, that's all I'm thinking, can of worms. And we will be back after Abu Dhabi with our race review. And then after that, we'll do our end of year podcast as well. Good times. Gents, thank you so much for your time. Thanks everyone out there for listening. And we will be back shortly. Enjoy the final race of the season. Here's to it being, oh God, please, just that little bit better than Brazil. Just anything. Go on, Pastor. You know what you got to do.